Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. And here I am. I almost forgot to take off my mask. Oh, well, this is getting crazy. Well, this is because I am back in the studio. I've been back now, and it's really exciting to be behind the microphone. And I have my first guest in the studio since this all started. And it's just wonderful. I want to thank Ed for keeping everything so clean in here, and Big Ed in the control room is just doing a wonderful job here at the studio. And now I have a really special guest, and this is, it's so funny, because I'm actually going to ask him to write something, but it's going to come as a surprise, and he's going to be like, what? You're crazy. But I have this vision of what he should write, and I don't normally give writers ideas, but this time I'm going to do it, because my guest is Owen King, and his book is called Double Feature, and so I'm really excited to welcome to Joy on Paper, Owen King. Hi, Owen.
Hi, Patsy. How you doing?
Okay. This is so funny. You know, I read your book before. You know, before I got involved actually with Lawrence Block, Mystery Writer of America, Grandmaster, who does all these wonderful anthologies, and of course you were in his most recent anthology. But the book that I wanted to talk to you about is called Double Feature, and the reason is I've been sort of on and off in the film industry for a long time, and I read the book because I was interested in your take on indie film production. And so that's why I read it. And then, of course, later on, I discovered more about you. And I discovered, of course, when you contributed here to Larry's most recent anthology. So it's a joy to welcome you here. Why don't we talk a little bit first before we talk about Double Feature? Let's talk. Larry always likes us to talk about his books.
Yes, yes.
Oh, Bo, you know what? No, first. Big, yeah, got a song for you. Listen. Oh, and that's a special song for you.
Why, thank you.
Well, you know, I mean, that's actually one of the reasons I invited you, is any excuse I can have to play that song, I will do so. Because, of course, you mentioned it in your book. And anyone who can talk about that movie, The Apartment, which is one of my favorite movies, and all through this double feature. I mean, you're talking so much about books, about movies that I love. And so that's why I found it so fascinating. But so let's talk, just in case Larry's listening in today, let's talk at the top of the hour here about Larry and what it was like to be asked to contribute.
Yeah, so Larry has Larry Block has a new anthology that he curated called The Darkling Halls of Ivy, and it's, you know, he basically said, just, you know, dark stories. Yeah, he really gave us a sort of open assignment, could be just about anything, any sort of short story about college and the university environment, and, you know, I said yes before I had an idea, because Larry is just he's a big hero of mine, and I've been reading his books since I was a young person. And I think one of the things that's, when you're a young person and there's books you fall in love with, you know, later on as an adult, is sometimes it's sort of, can be really dangerous to pick those things back up again, because it can really ruin it. when you reread something as an adult, you can be like, oh, well, what did I see in this? But with Larry, you know, when I've picked up books of his that I've read when I was a kid and when I read his new stuff, it's just as fresh to me as it ever was. And I love his Matthew Scudder books about the alcoholic private detective Matthew Scudder. And I love the way it sort of, that the books are ostensibly mysteries, but they're also a story about Matt Scudder, you know, fighting to get his sobriety and living with this disease. And it's just a beautiful series, and I love the way that it winds the personal in with the crime stories. So he's a big hero of mine, and I said yes to participating in the anthology before I had an idea, but luckily, you know, and then as the months went on, I started to, you know, as is generally the case when you say yes to something like this, you start to get a little bit tense, like, is something going to come to me? And I managed to come up with a story called That Golden Way, which, I'm trying to think how to describe it. It's a dorm set story about a young man who sort of crosses over into another world. Yeah, I guess that's what I should say about it. I think it's kind of a funny story, which is sort of what I like from my fiction. I like there to be a little bit of humor in it.
Well, definitely, that is sort of a hallmark of your work, that you do have, even though you write sometimes very dark things, there is that humor. And so that's one of the things I want to talk to you about. But the story, of course, this is I love anthologies, and I've just enjoyed so much promoting Larry's anthologies, because they make perfect gifts. You know, if you're looking for a gift for somebody, it's just always nice to give a book. And if you're not going to give a National Geographic book, which I also always recommend, an anthology is great, because the receiver will always find something, at least, you know, three or four stories that they really like, you know, that they've authors that they really like, and then they learn and they expand their horizons. They find new authors that they want to investigate. And I think that's what happens. And so it's become a real thing, I think, to be invited to participate in a Larry Block anthology.
Yeah, and I have to say, I'm not quite done with the book. I've actually been reading it. I've got like three or four stories left to read. But it's really good all the way through. I've liked every single story. And, you know, with an anthology, part of the appeal of it is that you know, there are so many, you're likely to encounter a lot of different styles. And so, you know, more often than not, you know, there's going to be at least one story in an anthology. You're going to be like, oh, that's not really for me. But I have to say, Larry's got really good taste.
Oh.
I have really liked every story in this book so far. And it's an interesting premise to see what people do
with an idea.
Environment. You know, the story I just was reading now is set in the 19th century. It's by Peter Lovesey, and it's about the future king of England, and he's at college in Oxford, I believe, and it has to do with boat racing. And it's just you know, I mean, and that's nestled up beside, you know, stories that are set in Hong Kong, and stories that you know, murder mysteries set on American campuses. I mean, it's just a really cool, varied group of pieces.
Well, he has good taste in the people that he's chosen, and I've discovered authors, you know, through reading these anthologies. Now, of course, one of them was his daughter, Jill Block, who's I loved her short story. And then in one of his anthologies, the Edward Hopper book.
Yep.
And then, that was just so great. And then I read her book, and I was, like, just blown away with it, because The Truth About Parallel Lines is a book that when I read it, I saw it as a film, which brings me back to you, because I was a script writer years ago. I did some work. I adapted several books. I actually I one of my own scripts was picked up, and we were scheduled here to film it here in Florida in 2008, a film I wrote for Debbie Reynolds called The Sunshine Pilot. Of course, it was scheduled to start in December, and we had the stock market crash in October, and of course, our financing just dried up. And so it went in turnaround, and then by the time we could get funding again, she was too old. We couldn't get insurance on her. So I don't know how much that's what brought me to your book, because I wanted, you know, I like any book about producers, directors, the process, and I, you know, if I can pick up something, I've played around, I've helped people with their indie films, and I've missed a few opportunities where I could have really maybe gotten involved in things that were successful, and then I got involved in things that weren't successful. So that's why I found your book fascinating.
Well, thank you. Let me see. I guess that book is it from 2013?
Yes, 2013.
Yeah, and I guess it was. I wrote the book. It has to do with the main character. He's a young man, and he writes and directs this this indie film, and it ends up being, through a series of fairly elaborate circumstances, it ends up being defaced.
Let's not give away the. I want people to read it. People have to read it because Sam. No, this is the whole thing. You know, you developed a character here named Sam Dolan, and he has a father who is a real character, a B actor named Booth Dolan. And once people start reading that book, they really will get into liking Sam, because there's something very special about this character. And of course, his father, Booth, is unforgettable as a B actor, a real ham. So there's a lot of things that happen in this book. And it was released in 2013. And that's one of those things that I do here on Joy on Paper. When I first, I didn't have the program until 2015, so that's why you weren't invited. Although I'm working, you know, with the big publishers, and when I started off, I didn't know what I was doing, and I was just sort of calling people up or sending them messages saying I like your book. And that's how I started. But eventually, you know, all the big publishers started sending me books. So I do mostly I do major authors on their release dates. And that's wonderful. But what I love is to find books that are on my bookshelf, that and authors who haven't maybe written something recently. As a matter of fact, I emailed a very famous author, like three or four times, and she just wouldn't respond. And finally, I said, "Just give me a call, please. Give me a call." So one afternoon, I get this call. Now, I won't tell you the name of this very famous author, but let me say she has a Southern accent, and I think she was into her third mint julep. She mentioned that she was sitting on her porch, and I said, "Well, I would really like, you know, to do an interview." And she says to me, I'm not writing. And I said, you know, I want to talk about your books. I love your books. She said, well, I'm not writing anything now. I said, yeah, it doesn't matter. I want to talk about, she said, I don't think I'm going to write for a while. I have to fight with this lady. I keep saying, but I love your books. She hadn't written anything for like 5 years. And she was like so surprised. She said, "Well, nobody ever calls you. Nobody ever calls me anymore." And I said, "But your books are so great. I want to talk about them." So that's why, like in this case, it's been a long time, and I want people still to you know, get the book and read it and come out at the end. I mean, we don't know how it's going to end. We're not going to tell people how it's going to end.
All right, no spoilers.
No,
then.
I don't. I think you shouldn't do it, because It's your book is as fresh today as it was in 2013. It's not stale. It's because you're talking about things that are timeless. You're talking about films that are timeless, that, you know, we all know. It's a book that can come back if people will talk about it, if you'll do a little publicity too, because, you know, this is important. I hate that books come out, and this is the problem when it's not a series. That's why publishers, of course, love series, is that if a book comes out today, it's number six. If people like it, they might start back on number one. But when a book is a standalone, like Double Feature, you're not going to get any publicity for it. And it's then based on whether you get publicity for other books that you write in the future. But I think it's important to talk about books that, my gosh, it's not that long ago.
No. Well, I'm so glad you liked the book, and I remain very fond of it. And I certainly, you know, it took, probably spent somewhere between 6 or 7 years working on it and poured a lot of myself into it. And it has to do with film and families. And it's got a couple different time periods that are in it, and the character of Booth is at least partially inspired by Orson Welles, and
there's so much in this book, and
yep.
You know, I will add it's and this I have to do now for my listeners. I've discovered this. I will say it is adult. Okay, it's adult. If you don't like to read something that's adult, you know. You might not want to read this book, but on the other hand, if you don't mind, there's so much in this book. You are a really good writer. You have the ability to really.
Very kind of you to say.
No, it's not. It's a. This is why, in a way, I was sort of as I'm. No, I read it a long time ago. Then I went back and I reread it. And I'm thinking to myself, in so many ways, it's a shame that it is so adult, because it does limit the number of readers. It's hard to say in this world now. Everything's crazy, but it's, and I'm sure you had to write it, as you said. Some of it, I think, is you. There's a lot of psychology that's in this book, but it's the parts that I loved were the parts about the film, about how you interacted with, or in this case Sam Dolan interacted with people, and his heartfelt, his yearnings are, I think, are so great and universal that I wish there would be a wider audience for this book.
Well, I'm always happy when someone picks it up, and but you know, that's I think that's part of
the
great thing about once your book is out there, you know, it's always out there, and people will find it, and maybe not as many as you wish, but certainly the ones that do, it's always a delight to hear from them, and I don't know if this is the case for you, but all the time, you know, I'll pick up a book that is a little bit unfamiliar to me and is maybe not something that's you know, been talked about a bunch, and we'll open it up and read it and find it's just wonderful.
Yeah,
you know, that happens.
Yeah, but I think that actually that happened more for me. And of course, now I get 10 books a week, so it, you know, I don't have to worry about books. But I used to love to, you know, roam through a bookstore and just pick up books here and there, you know, secondhand books, and buy them. And then I would always find a few treasures, you know, among the books that I bought. And that's more difficult, I think, when it's just on the internet. You know, people don't do that same kind of sort of just browsing. And then the horrible thing is, when you're like in a bookstore and you're browsing and you pick up, you know, some books off this sort of sale shelf, and you bring them home and you read. But in this case with Amazon, unfortunately, all of the or sometimes fortunately, the reviews are there. And if you have negative reviews, people will like, oh, well, it's negative. I can't read that. You know, and I get so annoyed with that. I tell people, don't do that. Just enjoy the book. Read it for yourself. You make your own opinion. Don't base a book on reviews, because I recently read a really great book, The reviews were not good on Amazon. Just they didn't get the right people to write reviews. But the book is great. And so this is a frustrating thing, I think.
Well, I just wanted to go back to what you said before, though. There's nothing better, and this is one of the things that's been, you know, difficult about COVID-19, is you can't really go to the bookstore. And where I live, they're opening back up a little bit, but you miss being able to sort of browse. And same thing with the library, you know, wandering around the stacks and seeing what you find. It's just one of the most relaxing, pleasurable activities, you know.
I love stacks. Well, just that word is magical to me. Wherever I've been, and I've visited a lot of libraries. I've lived all over the world, and they'll have a stack. You know, they have their stacks, and now if I'm in a foreign country, I say, "Where's the English? Where are the English books?" And just exactly that feeling to just take a book off the shelf and look at it, and then to read it. It's a thrilling experience. A lot of young people are not having today, and I think it's a shame.
We are so lucky in our country to have all the libraries and bookstores we have, and they're a very valuable resource.
And Barnes & Noble and some of our local, well, when they're back open again, our local bookstores that have children's hour, I admire them so much because they do get the children to be there with the books and to touch them and to hold them, which is, you know, it makes a special feeling. I think that the tactile nature of it, you looking at the book, you feel it, you just get into it. And I feel sort of sad for this generation of kids. And of course, up you know, where you were born, and always I think on the East Coast, I've always had fantastic luck with secondhand bookstores in that area, those areas, because people read a lot.
Yes.
Now, when I wanted to talk for a minute, one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you, and this is funny, I don't know what books you read as a child. What were you, the Hardy Boy, that kind of thing?
You know, I wasn't a big I did read these. I don't know if you recall these books, the Three Investigators.
Yeah.
I remember reading those. They had these, it was Alfred Hitchcock Presents. They had these great covers of like these sort of slightly macabre, you know, scenes on the cover.
So you were
so it had a little bit of a Scooby-Doo vibe to it. And then later on, I got sort of a big reading signpost for me was Kidnapped by Robert Louis Stevenson. Was a huge favorite of mine, about David Balfour, the young man who gets conscripted on this boat, and by the machinations of his evil uncle, and he falls into the company of this a Scottish revolutionary named Alan Breck, and they have an adventure together. And so, that was a huge book for me, and I think I was just absolutely, you know, it's the same story you'll hear from a lot of different writers and just, you know, readers in general, whether it's The Hobbit or Island of the Blue Dolphins or whatever. There's this book that sets you off, and the world of it is so complete and vivid, and you just live there inside your head while you're reading it, and you've never had an experience like that before, and that sets you off. And for me, that was the one. But I read a lot of books when I was a kid you know, like those Three Investigators books as well. And those were a lot of fun, too.
Now, what are you working on a book now?
I am, yeah. I've been working on a book for, hesitate to guess, I think maybe 3 years now.
Okay.
Knock on wood, almost done. I think I'm in the home stretch now. And
are you one of those writers who does says, I'm going to do so many words a day, or do you do it like you have these days where you can just write and write and write?
I try to work every day at least a little bit if I can. You know, I mean, life is other commitments and family things. You know, it's not always possible, but I do try to get about a page done a day, and hopefully a little bit more if possible. But I've been doing a lot of screenwriting the last few years, and you know, things like Larry's anthology come up that I throw myself into, and that takes a little while as well. So, you know, but I'm in no great hurry to finish the book. It's, you know, you only have so much time in your life to, you only have so many books in you, so you want to try to get it right, and hopefully or at least I only have so many in me. I don't know if I don't have an unlimited number of interesting stories. So I'm trying to get this one just the way I want it. So, and I'm slow in any way, but I think I'm getting there.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. You have to make sure that I get on your publisher's list so I get it before everybody else in the world.
Of course.
And I made a serious mistake that I did not invite your wife to join us today. Because
yes, my wife, goodness. Kelly, is a novelist as well, Kelly Braffett, and she published a book in February called The Unwilling, which is a fantasy novel.
Which I just read. It didn't occur to me to... I mean, I knew the connection. In my head, I knew the connection. But it wasn't until... Oh, the other day I said to myself, why? Why didn't I do it? But I was, you know, like caught up with so many things. And so I'm going to have her back. I'm going to contact you. I'm going to have her on sometime very soon.
Oh, that would
soon
be wonderful.
Because I would love to talk to her. And to have two writers in the house is always lots of fun. you work at different hours, different ends of the house.
We work at different ends of the house. I mean, we actually do tend to work somewhat similar hours, though. You know, everything is different right now because of the virus. So everything is a little bit discombobulated. But yeah, we both are writers, and we read each other's things and support each other. And I think, and I bet a lot of other writer couples feel this way, I get almost more joy out of the things that she writes because I get to be, you know, a fan. I get so, when you work on your own thing, you work on it until it's just about dead. And so the thing that your spouse is writing feels a lot fresher. And and she's such a good writer. I just I love her work.
She is. Well, I'm going to have her on, and we're going to talk about that. I have two things I want to talk to you. Let's talk, as you say in the book, you talk about The Apartment, and just I want you to talk about that movie because I think, I don't know if everybody knows that movie. I love that movie. So I want you to talk about that because that's the entire double features. Stories about famous movies, and
yep.
I think there's a lot of depth in there, Ed, that people who enjoy film will enjoy the book from that point of view. But let's talk about The Apartment, and then I want to talk to you about something really special. Okay, so tell us about The Apartment.
You played the music a little earlier, and I have to admit, I was thinking to myself, is this the music to Double Indemnity, which is another Billy Wilder movie? So I was pretty close. But The Apartment is about, there's a character named Jack Lemmon. I mean, it's not named Jack Lemmon, played by Jack Lemmon, and he works in this office, and he's sort of a worker bee in this big office, and there's all these great early shots in the movie that Billy Wilder has of the office and all the all the desks lined up, and it has a very, very contemporary feel in that way. The sort of sense of anonymity that I think people have or feel in the modern office place. And so Jack Lemmon gets this job, and he ends up becoming and he's living this very lonely existence. And there's the famous shot of him where he's like straining his spaghetti with his tennis racket. He lives alone, sort of sad life, and he falls in love with the character played by Shirley MacLaine. And she is this sort of wild, joyful presence in his life, but she's also having an affair with his married boss, who is played by Fred McMurray, and is a real cad. And it's the story of this love triangle between the three characters. I've got it pretty much right there,
yeah,
haven't I?
Yeah, you've got it right. The reason I wanted to mention it again is that double feature, which is Owen King's book, is for anyone who loves film, you will enjoy this book. Now, do you have a website you want people to go to or not? You're not into that?
I do have a website. Yeah. It's I don't know if there's anything so exciting there, but go have a look. It's www.owen-king.com.
Okay.
And got my books on it and stuff.
One other thing. Before I let you go, as I'm reading this book, again, now the first time I hadn't thought about it, but as I'm reading it again, you do have a wonderful touch for comedy. It's not, you know, it's because you are very observant. And I don't know if you ever read a series called The Bagthorpes, by Helen Cresswell. This should be required reading for any child, because they are joyful books. And I so wish, I cannot think of any writer that I've spoken to over the past 5 years who would have the talent to take a Helen Cresswell books and make adult versions of them. Not I don't mean adult versions in language, but versions that they're written actually for children. But you should read them, because first of all, the main character is a script writer, so you will find it fascinating from that point of view. But you are the only writer I know who could actually write funny books. And I think we're going to need, in the future, we're going to need some really funny books that are just plain fun, because I know, and I'm already starting to get them. I'm getting pandemic books. I'm getting political books. I'm getting hateful books. I'm getting ugly books. I'm getting mean books. And all I want right now, I want a book that will make me laugh. And so yesterday, I read, again, The Bagthorpe Saga by Helen Cresswell. And I'm sitting there laughing my head off because it's so funny. And so I want you to really consider your next book after this one to write something that's funny, because I think in a few years, we're going to need it. So that's a compliment to you, that I think you're capable of such a wonderful thing.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. You know, it's... I usually feel like there's a certain sadness.
We don't need it now. We need
in
some
most
happiness.
Comedy, there is a certain sadness.
It can just uplift you too. And I hope that maybe just get the Bagthorpe Saga. It's written by I think they're all British versions, which are what you want. Read them, and I think maybe they might inspire you. Now, I have a wonderful guest in the studio. We're going to be talking about her book that she's written, and she's written a book. Again, I have so many books about the pandemics already but I just can't handle all of it right now. So I have a guest in the studio. We're going to be talking about food, which I love to talk about. But I'm going to invite your wife, and of course, I'm going to stay in contact with you. But Owen King, I want to thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. Your joy. We're going to play you out with the apartment music again, just to get it in your head and to thank you for reminding everybody who reads a book about it, okay?
Okay, thank you so much, Patsy. Have a nice day.
You too. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more rewarding careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi. This is Patsy with a Z, and I am back, and I am in the studio here with a wonderful author, and I am looking at the cover of her book, and I really love it. It's called The Dressing Table, and it is by Mary Buckman. Hi, Mary.
Hi, how are you today?
Okay, well, it's so good to have you here in the studio, and I want to thank Louise Harris for arranging this interview and to have you in here to talk about what I understand is an inspirational book.
Yes, it is.
Not just about food, it's also inspirational.
Yes, it's about the Lord. And it's about the Lord just doing wonderful, wonderful things in your life. And it's also about how the Lord can show you the way to do things that you would never think you can accomplish. I have severe dyslexia. I can't spell and I can't write very well. So my dream was to always write a book. I go into Barnes & Noble. I look at all the books and I think people are so smart because they have books that are published and that are in this bookstore. So I always wanted to do it, and God showed me the way how to do it, how to write my own book. And I'm just really excited because I achieved that. I have a book.
Wow. Wow. So tell us about it. Tell us what the book, what does it entail? What's involved?
It entails about love. It entails that cooking has always been my love language for my family and for people. I worked at Bon Appetit for 12 years, and that was just an incredible experience. Mr. K is just absolutely wonderful. He's the owner and president of Bon Appetit. And he was just, you know, he was just like such an inspiration. And I worked on the yacht. They had a U.S. Bon Appetit yacht. And so it was so wonderful because I used to work on the yacht. And I just love to cook. And I grew up with these wonderful, wonderful recipes from my mother, who always said she was a simple West Virginian cook.
Oh, the best.
And she taught me all these things. And I always felt comfortable being in a kitchen. I consider a kitchen to be somewhere you go and play, not somewhere where you go and work or get a chore done. It's somewhere where you go and play, and you through that, you just show love and kindness to people. And so the recipes, my mother's recipes are in the recipes that I grew up with. And they're no flash and bash, they're just really honest food. And the story is just about my family, and it's about, you know, growing up. I was adopted. My adopted parents are my mom and dad. I love them so much. And, you know, I just want to thank them for just taking such good care of me and for raising me so well. And I've just had, you know, just such a good life, and I'm just married to the most wonderfulest man, like, in the whole world. And he's always supported every adventure that I've ever wanted to do, and he really supported me with this book. And I met Louise, and what we would do is we would take chapters at a time, and I would talk over the phone, or I would record things and send them to her, and she would, you know, she would type them, and she would write the chapters down. And she is just excellent. She's just so wonderful to work with. And the book is just, I just want, when people read the book, I just want them to feel like they can do anything. You know, they think they have limitations, but you really don't. You don't have limitations at all, you know, through the Lord. And I just want people to feel just wonderful about themselves, and I want people to feel wonderful about accomplishments, wonderful about that, yes, you can dream and your dreams can come true, because it came true for me. I have a book. I have a book out and I have a book published.
The cover is just beautiful, and it's called The Dressing Table, and it's really, really beautiful. And I know this joy of cooking because I was my mother's little helper always. We lived in northern Michigan, and she would get up early in the mornings to cook. She was a wonderful baker, just wonderful. And I was always her helper. And so I was 8 years old. I started making cinnamon rolls.
Oh, I love those.
In the mornings and selling them in the neighborhood. So I was also not just a cook. I was also in business at a young age because it was just so much fun. I just loved it. So I know that feeling, and I think you're right. There's so much love that goes into cooking, and I know that my son is a beneficiary because every month, now he went away to college years ago, but every month, almost every month since he left home to go to college, I send him a box of biscotti.
Oh, wow.
I make biscotti. I think I make the best biscotti in the world.
Oh.
And particularly, we're very fond of cardamom in my family. And
I love cardamom.
So I make that, and I make a few of his other favorites. And he gets this box from home, and it is filled with love. And I also always include in there candied pecans, which he loves. So,
oh, that sounds wonderful. My mother would love candied pecans, yes.
So it is love. There is a lot to say, and as I'm making it, I'm feeling the love. And when he opens the package, I know he knows that I'm sending him love.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's so wonderful. I just love it when people eat the food that I make, and it makes them happy, and they really enjoy it. It just warms my heart.
So tell them, let's go back a step, a little bit on the boat. I think everybody will find it interesting that you could cook on the boat. And I don't think that I could do that. I tend to get a little seasick. So how did you do that?
Well, I was working at Bon Appetit, and Bon Appetit back then had a boat, and it was called the U.S. Bon Appetit. And Mr. K sometimes was the actual pilot of the boat.
Oh, wow.
So I got to work with him being the pilot, and then I was the chef in the galley. And I just enjoyed it so much because it brought me closer to the clients. It brought me closer, you know, more in, and they were seeing what I was doing. And I just really enjoyed working on the yacht. I just thought that was just fantastic.
Well, I think that's wonderful. I think that's a wonderful story. And so you have that in there. And just mention a few of the recipes that we can find in the book.
My mother made this really, really, really wonderful bean soup, navy bean soup with the ham bone. Really old-fashioned, really, really wonderful. My sister, Rebecca, she has the best mushrooms, sautéed mushrooms with soy sauce, and they're really good for a side or a complement to a steak or what have you. They're wonderful. And then my mom, Lois, she has this this scoop recipe where she came up with it. And, you know, it's hamburger, and it's kidney beans, and it's mushroom soup, and green beans. And you incorporate everything together, and you put it over pasta or what have you. And it's just, I mean, they're just really fun, neat recipes. They're just really fun.
Well, I think always it's in so many ways it's the basics, that home cooking, that
yes.
that feel that you get from eating
yes.
food that's just heartwarming.
Yes, it is. It's very heartwarming. It's very comforting.
Yeah,
especially
exactly.
We need that this time,
oh,
don't we?
Exactly.
We need this, and we need a book that I think is encouraging. I think we need a book that. That we just need to read and feel good. You know what I mean? And
well, that's what I just mentioned to Owen King.
I heard you. That is so true.
Now, Owen King, for those of you who don't know, is Stephen King's son.
Oh, I didn't know that. I love Stephen. I went to the Stanley.
Yes?
In Estes Park, Colorado. I had to go there.
Uh-huh.
And I did. I went there about 2 years ago.
Well, you notice, everybody, notice that I got through that interview without mentioning his father's name.
Oh, I love Stephen King.
I
oh, he's my favorite.
It's so funny. But the problem sometimes with children of famous people is half of their interviews, when they do an interview on radio or television, half of their interview is done about their famous parent.
Oh, okay.
And so I try not to do that. I wanted him to have a chance to talk about his book
right.
instead of having to talk about his father's books, because talking about his father's books, you could do that for hours.
Oh, yes. I can talk about his father's books for hours, yes.
Yeah. So that's why I thought, you know, it would be nice not to do that to him. I think that's important, that he had his own time.
His own identity.
Exactly.
His own, yes.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
But I did want to mention it to people because... if you need any encouragement to believe that he is a good writer, he's a good writer. He learned very well from his father. They have a natural storytelling ability in their family.
Right.
So I just wanted to mention that. But Owen King, as I said to him, get back to something uplifting.
Right.
You know, we need right now, I think, really uplifting books, joyful books, joyous books, and your book, The Dressing Table, comes, I think, at the perfect time because people are home. You can cook.
Yes.
And the ingredients are easy. It's not like the ingredients are not exotic.
No, that's one thing that I get frustrated with when I see like people on these cooking shows. They say, well, go online and order, you can order it online or you can go to a specialty food store. And I just don't have time to be, you know, doing that kind of thing. So this is very basic cooking. And I also suggest with all my recipes how you can make it different, how you can make it your own.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's just what you need to do. And I think that's I think it's come out at the right time because we can really promote it. I hope that Louise will really get out there and promote it to people. You're stuck in the house. Enjoy the family process of working together.
Yes.
You know, just cutting potatoes, peeling potatoes, sitting together at the kitchen table and enjoying it and teaching the kids and make it into little history lessons. You talk
yes.
about West Virginia. You talk about where navy beans come from. Where you talk about everything.
I can talk, too.
You can talk,
yeah.
too. So, and the book, I'm just really very, very happy that you were able to come into the studio today to talk about the book.
Thank you very, very much for having me. Just thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, I think you're delightful.
Oh, thank you.
And it's just, this is what I want to do. I want to encourage people to follow their dreams. I mean, at the beginning of the program, I always introduce this program as a program for writers and those who dream of writing. And you are perfect proof that somebody can have a dream and they can fulfill it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I'm so excited about this book, and I'm already planning what I'd like to have beyond the dressing table, my second book. So I'm already kind of planning that.
See,
so I was just talking about that with Louise yesterday. So
that's it. Well, that's what happens. Once you start writing, you really can't stop. You so enjoy seeing your words on paper. There is,
yes.
This is really something that I tell people over and over. And so I'm just thrilled that you were able to come in today. And
thank
that I can help promote your book, and I will do that also on my website and my social media. Are you on? You have a social media? Are you on Facebook, Instagram? Which ones do you do? Anything yet?
Louise has a Facebook account for me.
Okay, good.
And she set that up.
Okay.
I'm not very good with computers.
Not yet. Well, you will, but once you start getting fans emailing you and wanting to know more about you and your recipes, I'm sure you'll get fluent in this too.
I hope so.
Okay, because you are exactly an example of what I always tell people, that one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper.
Yes, it is.
It is, isn't it?
Yes.
Or to hear it spoken in an audible book. And just, you never know, and unless you start. And this is the beautiful thing about it. Once you start, it's addictive.
Yes, it is. I can't wait to do the second one.
Yeah, this is a better addiction than chocolate.
I don't know. Maybe, probably.
Well, we hope it is because it is a wonderful thing. And I'm just really thrilled that you came into the studio today.
So, thank you very much for having me. Thank you.
Okay, well, again, the name of the book is The Dressing Table, and it's by Mary Buckman. And you can get it on Amazon, and it's either Kindle or a paperback version. And get this book. Enjoy with your family. Have some fun. Just sort of chill out and eat well, and just share the joy of being together. And not taking this as a terrible thing that you're sort of stuck together for a while. Use this as an opportunity, correct?
Yes, to get close with your family.
That's
and
right.
This is an opportunity to just enjoy your life, just enjoy your home, just enjoy your family, just enjoy being together.
That's it. And to find the joy on paper.
Yes.
And read a good book. And again, I want to recommend Carol J. Perry's Witch City Mysteries. They are wonderful books. Rita Moreau is going to be back she's going to be doing some book buzzes, and her books are wonderful too. And so we have lots of books that are out there that you can enjoy, and that all you have to do is start reading and start writing and just be happy. We all need to find joy in life. And make sure that you say something nice to somebody today. And I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Ed, thank you for everything. He's saluting me, and I'm saluting him, because I really should have been in the military. I would have made a great general. Oh, my goodness. I wish I was a general. Okay. Bye-bye now, everybody. Take care.